Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our theme for today is the value of service, and we're into part one. And before we explore that topic further, I want to mention a gift that we're going to give you. We'll be speaking more about a nice gift that we'll be sending out to you, and we'll talk more in detail about that later. Stay with us, and we'll explain it more as time goes on. Our thought for today comes from the works of Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and Lucis Trust sponsors this show. And Alice Bailey has written 24 volumes of literature, and all the dialogue that you hear on this show emanates from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. Today, we have a world which is steadily coming to the realization that no one liveth unto himself, and that only as the love, about which so much has been written and spoken, finds its outlet in service, can one begin to measure up to his or her innate capacity. And once again, that's by our founder, Alice Bailey. And very often we hear about service, and I hope you're one of those people, as so many people in Lucis Trust are, who likes the idea of service for the intrinsic value of service, and not so much because one is going to achieve another end as a reason for doing it. Alice Bailey refers to the law of service, actually, and I don't know how many of us think of it as a law of service, but it is. Is service what we think it is, or something different to the soul?
Well, I think the reference to the law of service gives away the fact that the view of the Alice Bailey writings about service is quite a different view than what probably popped into the minds of our listeners when they heard the topic of service. No doubt we think of the military, or we think of charity, or we think of obligation. There are probably all kinds of connotations attached to a word like this, and some of them might even be a bit negative, depending on people's experience. But there is a law of service in the sense that, like so many areas of life, service is governed by spiritual principles when one really approaches it as the soul does, as the higher consciousness views service. There are laws, principles, certain fundamental rules that govern true service as a soul. So probably we could say that service as an activity, as a doing good, is quite different from the service of the soul, which we'll get into in this program. The personality views service as activity, doing something to make the world a better place. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. We should all be trying to do that. But don't you think that to the soul, service is more a state of being than of doing?
Yes, I mean, it's the ideal which the soul reacts to. I mean, its service is not a sentiment or an ideal. It's an effect of soul contact, and the spontaneous effect of soul contact, and that allows the life and the quality of the soul to pour through into the personality, the outer physical personality life.
So it's not something that has to be worked up from below. It sounds like something that happens in a natural way.
It happens naturally from the soul's point of view, because it probably that law, the law of service, is one of the basic laws to which the soul reacts.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fundamental to the existence of the soul, and because that's what it's on earth to do, to carry out and the plan of God and to serve the plan of God that is working out in the world. And therefore, it is our duty too, as we begin to come in contact more closely with the soul and the soul qualities, this impulse to serve really begins to come through, and it affects the way we conduct our lives.
So when you say that it's an effect that the soul reacts to, I think what you mean is that when the soul is able to get a really good grip on its mechanism, meaning the personality, the outer person with a mind, emotions, sensitivity, a physical body, a presence in the world, when the soul, the higher consciousness, has a grip on that equipment, then service just kind of spontaneously pours through. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it's been described in the Bailey writings as service is a life demonstration. And that's essentially what we try to bring through into our lives, so that everything we do, think, and say in our life is some kind of a demonstration of these soul qualities,
mm-hmm.
which are basically that to do with service.
So it's that which reveals the quality of the soul, and the quality of the soul within a human being can be revealed in every situation he's in, no matter what it is, within the family, within his business life, his community life, the way he handles his physical plane affairs, the way he treats the environment, the way he handles strangers and people who are of less power than he is, children, the weak, whatever. All of these are aspects where service is demonstrated if the consciousness is attuned enough to soul values, which are love, compassion, sacrifice, unselfishness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's this urge to serve that we all feel from time to time. Some people feel it more strongly than others. That is the first one of the early indications that the soul is beginning to make use of you, your physical personality life.
What if one took this idea of service and applied it to his life just as it is now? In other words, you don't have to go out and become a nurse or a teacher or a doctor or whatever to serve. Try imagining applying service to your life right now. If you're married, try thinking of your marriage as a place of service, serving your spouse. In other words, what can you do to make that person's existence uplifted? Mm-hmm. If you have children, how can you serve them? How can you draw forth the inner spiritual being that exists within even the tiniest child? If you're if you work in an office, how can you serve the atmosphere of the office? How can you make it, in other words, a place where there's real group contact, real group collaboration? That can occur no matter what the office is for. If you work in a school, what can you do to make the school more a collaborative group effort? All of these are aspects where you can start to serve right now. You don't have to change anything. You have to be different, I guess we could say. You have to think differently.
Now, from what I understand, is that as we evolve as human beings, we're not really born with soul qualities. It's almost a matter of personal evolution where we evolve into adopting or taking on soul-like qualities. And I guess if I'm correct in my assumption here, that once we adopt soul-like qualities, that service, or the idea of service, is more or less a constituent of soul qualities that ordinarily it just happens with adopting the soul qualities. Is that correct?
Yes, except that I would say some people are born with more an expression of the indwelling soul than others are, depending on their state of evolution. We're not all at the same point on the path. And some, even very young children, are just normally attuned to a kind of natural giving of themselves. Others are quite selfish, so it varies with the individual.
Yeah, I think that's true. It all depends on where we stand in terms of consciousness, where your consciousness is focused. And if it's focused pretty much on yourself, then the service you do is going to be pretty much self-service. It's going to be all your impulses to serve will be reflected through that self-focus.
Of course, there are many people out there who are involved with jobs that have service as a component of the job. Could you contrast ordinary service with service of the soul?
Yes. As you say, some people are in positions of service whether they like it or not. Mm-hmm. And anybody who's taught, for example, in a school system is probably familiar with people who are, in a sense, captive in jobs in which they have to serve, but they don't really have the right temperament for it. The same with policemen, with firemen, with all kinds of people who have to work with the public and meet human need. They don't necessarily realize it's a place of service or like the idea. I heard on the radio just today there's a protest of policemen saying, if you like what we do, don't give us praise, give us more money. Well, in some ways I can understand the attitude, but you can't really say the temperament is quite right in that point of view yet. Ordinary service is doing what you are obligated to do or that you feel a responsibility to do. It's the should aspect of life. I should do this, therefore I will. The sense of duty and obligation, and goodness knows that takes a certain spiritual development just to be able to sense what we should do and not give in to our lowest impulses. So I'm not putting that down. Mm-hmm. But the service of the soul is on a higher, more intuitive level. I think a lot of people think of service as a kind of an emotional gut reaction to human misery. And that's, in its way, a sign of an evolving human sensitivity, that we can feel that sorrow and that pity for human misery. But the service of the soul is more from the heart and the head than from the gut. It requires intelligence, the head, and it requires identification with others, which is the heart.
Yes, and that's a good point to bring out, the point about identification with others. Too often the urge to serve might be, as I said before, it might be just a selfish impulse. And so the thought is for serving in a way that makes me feel good. And also, the ordinary kind of service, everybody is familiar with the ordinary kind of service because our whole society is so governed by ordinary service. Even the bus driver or the policeman or the fireman or the social services or the welfare workers, and all of those people are working in a service capacity. They may not see it that way. They may see it as just a job. Mm-hmm. But and that's probably what it is to them, and they do this for so many years of their life, and then that's it. that's a start. I mean, that's okay. Yeah, I think if you see it as just the ordinary kind of serving, I think that's where it begins, and one gets the sense impulse begins to build into your character, into your consciousness of service, because you're dealing with the public, perhaps you're always serving with trying to help them in whatever their needs are. And this has a very subtle way of working on one's consciousness.
I think, that the service of the soul is not so much about doing what you think is right for another or what you feel obligated to do for them. It's an intuitive responsiveness to need, even when it isn't verbally expressed or even recognized by the person who needs to be served. Real service as a soul senses that inner need within another that they may not even be aware of, and helps to meet that need. It's a heart-to-heart kind of contact that evokes the spiritual power or the inner divinity within another, so that it never takes credit for doing something for someone. What it does is bring forth their own spiritual power that exists within them.
I think it's a... when the reaction to service is a spontaneous reaction from the individual, then that is a true indication that service is coming from by way of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's a soul impulse, because that's the basic impulse of the soul itself, is to serve. And the stronger that comes through to the individual life, then... That's going to result in more spontaneous reaction to serve in the world.
There's a good definition from the teachings that defines what service as a soul is. It's the right meeting of need on any level.
Right.
The right meeting of need on any level.
Mm-hmm. For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and today's topic is the value of service. And we were mentioning a gift earlier in the show, and I said that I would give you more details on that gift. The gift is a pamphlet that we'll be happy to send out to you. It's, the title of the pamphlet is The New Group of World Service. The New Group of World Servers. And if you take a look at that book, there's quite a number of pages to it. You'll be very well informed on our topic today about what service is and... who are the new group of world servers. Perhaps you might already be a member of that group without even knowing it, just by fitting into the definition that we spoke about before, people who enjoy serving for the intrinsic work of it, and they enjoy doing God's work and helping others and fulfilling the need in other human beings. But once again, to obtain that pamphlet, to have us send it out to you free of charge, the toll-free number is 1-866-695-8247. Once again, that's 1-866-695-8247. And just give us a call. Ask for that pamphlet. We'll be happy to send it out to you. It's our gift to you. The title of it is The New Group of World Servers, which pretty much encompasses what we're talking about today. You'll be able to read it more in depth if you read that pamphlet. And all the work of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And I mentioned that Alice Bailey, the founder of Lucis Trust, wrote 24 volumes of literature, and that all the dialogue that you hear on the show emanates from those from that literature. But what you might want to do, if you want to read one of her books that's kind of comprehensive and gives you an insight into a lot of the topics of all 24 of all the volumes of Alice Bailey, you might want to look at a book that we have called Ponder on This. I think it'll really stimulate your thinking and give you an idea as to what our viewpoints are and also how we approach life. I guess just in general, a quick remark might be that who are we? Well, we're not a religion, but I guess the best way to describe us is to talk about ourselves as being a spiritual philosophy organization. But certainly by taking a look at the book that we have pondered on, which is kind of a compilation of a lot of the thoughts out there, kind of a cross-section, I think you might get a good idea of what some of our philosophies are. And people from all the walks of life attend those trial meetings and all of life, multiple members background religion, I guess our common goal is how to improve mankind. So give us a call if you like that. Get number 1-866-95-8247. Well, it's easy to remember, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York LUCIS. We'll send it out to him. Alice Bailey writes about the new group of World Service. What's this group and who are they?
It's one of the central concepts of her teachings, and it's a phenomenon, you'd say, of the past century. There have also been great individuals found through history that have made an impact on human evolution. But it's only been in the last 100 years or less that there has emerged a group of individuals throughout the world in all fields of life, in all cultures, in all religions, in all social strata that share in common a commitment to uplifting the planet. And this is what is known as the New Group of World Service. It's not an organization. There's no outer structure to it. It's a network of subjective affiliation. Just as there's no membership, there's not the possibility to claim you belong if you don't really. In other words, you qualify by the quality of your life, not by claiming that you are a member of such a group. We belong to it insofar as we identify with its objectives.
Yes, and it's a group that is identified more at the soul level, and here again, it's that impulse to serve that brings these people, these great souls, into the world.
Saying that they are affiliated at the soul level implies that they know each other when they meet.
I suppose they do, in a way, because they have a similar note that each individual recognizes, and they may never be in the same profession, because they're in all professions, they're in all political persuasions, they're in all religions, they're in all nationalities, they're dispersed all over the world.
But the values are similar, I think, in ways.
Because they have the good of humanity in mind, and that is their primary objective, no matter what their profession is. They work towards the good of the whole, towards the good of greater good, and not themselves. It's difficult maybe to identify these people sometimes because they may work behind the scenes.
But they're characterized by certain qualities, such as essentially a harmlessness in the way they approach change. They don't attack, they don't blame, they don't undermine, they don't pit their forces against what they consider to be the enemy. They work for the good rather than against what they would call evil, would you say?
Yeah. And the Bailey teachings have written extensively about this group, and it's a little difficult to put your finger on is what this group is first, because you have to kind of identify it at that soul level. So.
We talk a lot about being on the spiritual path and about evolving into adopting soul qualities and hopefully even become the soul and uniform living. But in service, certainly you've explained well that's part of it. Is service an essential requirement of being on the spiritual path?
It is, because the law of spiritual development is that which is received must be shared. You can't develop spiritual powers of any sort for selfish purposes. What you receive has to be then in turn shared. That's the law. The idea of how to share is changing. I think in olden times, service was seen as a means of self-development, becoming a better person, becoming spiritually more realized as an individual. And then it kind of evolved into a sense of obedience to a master or a spiritual superior, doing God's will, so to speak. And now I think we've reached a point where, as Jesus put it, service is seen as whatever we can do to uplift any aspect of the planet. Christ said, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." And I think that's the real essence of service now. Whatever is done, even to the least of Christ's brethren, is done unto him.
And it's essential to the spiritual path because it opens the heart, the heart center. I mean, I don't mean the physical heart, but I mean the heart center, the center of love in each one of us. And serving, to be a server, one gives of himself or herself to the needs of others, and that opens you up, that opens an inlet for the energies of the soul to work right through you into the world, and that is the very impulse that opens the heart center and brings about the soul.
There's a wonderful image that really describes this kind of service you're explaining, and it's the image of a water pot that pours forth a flood of water that never empties, that is somehow continually renewing itself from an invisible reservoir. This is service as the soul, an ever-replenishing source of life-bearing energy.
Yeah, and that water pot, that is, in fact, the symbol of the law of service.
Mm-hmm. So.
And once again, if you would like that gift that we'll be happy to send out to you, just give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York, LUCIS, and ask us for the gift, and we'll send it out to you free of charge. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You have been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.